You will find our scripture reading this morning in the prophecy of Isaiah at chapter 40. And in this passage that we're going to read, it tells us about the might and the majesty and the power of God. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll commence our reading at verse 15. Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? That has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so reads, and so may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. My text for our morning meditation and worship this morning is found in the last verse of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah in this chapter tells us about the mighty power of God. He tells us how weak the nations are before him. However powerful any nation may be, it is to God just like a drop of water out of a bucket. So says Isaiah. He says they are just like a little dust on a measuring scale. It doesn't weigh anything. That is how God sees the nations in all their pride and upon all that they think is great. God sits upon and above the circle of the earth. A remarkable word, young people, for those who try to tell us that people used to think the world, and at the time the Bible was written, that the world was flat. Here we are told that God sits upon and above the circle of the earth, and he sees the inhabitants just like grasshoppers. That's how weak they all are. He tells us that God controls the planets. He has given the names to all the millions of stars that move in their mathematical precision. Not one of them ever fails. He knows them, and he keeps them by his power. But yet he says this, he gives power to the faint, and he increases strength to those who are weak and who depend upon him. But I want you to think about this text this morning. It is a great word. Isaiah, as Isaac Watts says in the opening verses of his commentary on Isaiah, Isaiah was the most evangelical of all the prophets. And as we read this verse, we can see it from the New Testament aspect as well, and see how great this promise is for the believers in Christ. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These, of course, are spiritual blessings, and they are given to those who wait upon the Lord. I am calling this a conditional promise. It is on condition that we wait upon the Lord. The word wait is very full of teaching. It means to look for, to expect from, to hope in God. Meditation upon our Savior, his love for us, and our complete dependence upon him makes us see earthly things as being temporal, as being passing, and which will all one day end. We should learn to endure patiently every circumstance and desire to serve the Lord in every appointed way that he gives to us. Daily waiting upon the Lord renews our spiritual strength and vigor. It is a priority to holy living and service for our Lord and Master. Now the prophet tells us how we are to wait, and how by doing so we shall mount up on wings like eagles. Throughout Scripture, this eagle is used as an illustration of its remarkable powers and abilities. The eagle is characterized by three things: by its speed in flight, by its powerful scent, and by the keenness of its vision. Now I want then to draw with you some spiritual lessons from what the eagle is like and what it does. The eagle flies higher and faster than any other bird. Solomon, in writing in the book of Proverbs, tells us that the eagle flies towards heaven. It goes so high that none other bird can reach it. It flies right toward the sun with its remarkable eyes. And here's the first lesson I'm going to draw for those who wait upon the Lord in meditation. They come to see the sun, not the sun that shines in the skies, but the sun in the skies was a picture of Christ himself. Malachi, who was the closing prophet of the Old Testament era, and who prophesied 400 years before John the Baptist came, said, "Unto you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." The Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw the risen Christ, he said his face was like the sun shineth in its strength. And here is the remarkable thing. When we come to meditate upon the word of the Lord, it brings us ever and always to Christ. We see Christ in all the scriptures. And as we read, we should be swift like the eagle to behold our risen, victorious, sun-shining man in our hearts and lives. Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, who died, I think it was in 1963, was a fabulously rich woman. But she was a very humble Christian. And she used to gather around her some of her servants and friends who were believers. The other members of the royal household couldn't understand her, why she wanted to do this. But there she met with those who knew and loved the Savior. In her will, she said there was to be no mourning when she died. Everybody was to wear white clothes. The horses that pulled her hearse were to be white horses. And she said that her favorite hymn was to be sung. It wasn't one of the Bach chorales or anything like that. Some of those that sound so dirge-like. No, here's what it was. "There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. There is springtime in my soul today, for when my Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my soul, the flowers of grace appear. There is gladness in my soul today, and peace and joy and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above." And in that broadcast service of her funeral from Amsterdam Cathedral, led by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and Choir, there went out that hymn throughout the world with its chorus. "Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, where the heavenly peace rules, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. The eagle mounts up as towards the heaven. The believer mounts up and sees Christ with the eye of faith. But the eagle is a remarkable bird for where it builds. It builds on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. So says God in the book of Job. Have you read the book of Job recently? Maybe you've never read it. Job was in utter misery. He had lost his wife. He had lost his children. He had lost all his possessions. He was covered from head to feet in boils. Three philosophers came along to reason with him as to why he was in his plight. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and then Elihu. But when they had finished, God spoke to him out of the whirlwind, and he caused him to look up to see what the eagle was like living away there in that secret place where nothing could harm. And eventually Job was restored to himself all and more than he had lost. But here is the message that the eagle is in the secret place, far away from all others who can reach it. Colonel F.J. Miles was the one-time secretary of the Russian Missionary Society. He was a fine preacher, writer, theologian. He tells that he and some friends wanted to go and see the eagle's nest. They were in Australia, and they were taken to the Grampian Mountains. They rose early before dawn. They went up the mountain path for hours. Colonel Miles was a strong, big man. I met him once, heard him preach, talked with him. He and his friends were exhausted. They lay down. They had a bite to eat. And on they went, and then their guide brought them to the place. They got down and they crawled over. And there they looked down, and away far below them, there was the eagle's nest, described just as God said it to Job, on the crag, on the mountain rock, in a secret place. And when we meditate, we should come alone before the Lord. We learn the greatest things in meditation around the Word. Find time every day to meditate upon the Savior. Moses in the 91st Psalm says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my rock, my strength. In Him will I trust." We live in an age of speed, hurry, noise. Find time to meet alone with God. Our former pastor, the late Pastor Baxter, told us once about a woman who had a big family. It was in the days when there were no helps in the kitchen. She spent her time seemingly cooking, washing, mending clothes, shopping. Morning to night she was busy. But every day she went to a cupboard. She opened the door. This was her secret meeting place. For about 15 minutes, she read the Word, prayed to the Lord. She gained that daily strength. There is nothing to take the place of quiet meditation upon the Word. The Keswick Convention used to have what they recommended, the League of the Morning Watch, to spend time before you go out into a busy, busy world. It was an Indian Christian lady who wrote these lovely words, "In the secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the moments that I find at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither Satan lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the secret place I go. When my soul is faint and thirsty, neath the shadow of his wing, there is cool and pleasant shelter and a fresh and crystal spring. And my Savior rests beside me as we hold communion sweet. If I tried, I could not tell you what he says when thus we meet. Only this, I know he tells me all my doubts and griefs and fears. Oh, how patiently he listens, and my drooping heart he cheers. Do you think he ne'er reproves me? What a false friend he would be if he never, never told me of the sins which he must see. Would you like to know the secret of the sweetness of the Lord? Go and hide beneath his shadow. This shall then be your reward. And whene'er you leave the silence of that happy meeting place, you will bear the shining image of the Master in your face." Yes, the eagle goes to the secret place. So must we. The eagle's vision. God remarked about his vision. The eagle, what it can see afar off. And he speaks about how it hasteth to its prey, how it goes to get the food for its young, how it cares. And so when we meet with the Lord, he gives us spiritual vision. The child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, has a knowledge that others haven't of the Word of God. The Bible is a closed book to the most learned scholar in its ancient languages, unless he is led by the Spirit of God. Those very words were said to me by one of the leading theologians of the 20th century, Beasley Murray, the principal of Spurgeon's College. He says, "None can understand the scriptures except those who are saved and who have the Holy Spirit as their teacher." And what a vision he gives us of ourselves and of his love for us and of his provisions for us to walk in the Christian pathway. The eagle is known again for its great speed. its speed in flight. The eagles are remarkable. The male eagle works jointly with its mate. Here is a lesson for all who are married, all who have just been married, all who may one day be married. Do everything together. When the little eaglet is born, father eagle and mother, they sit behind it, in front of it. They flap their wings. And then there comes the day when mother eagle takes the little baby eaglet in its beak, comes to the edge of that cliff with all the thousands of feet below, and drops it over. But immediately she sweeps below and comes right under and gathers the little eaglet on her wings. And every ornithologist, every expert in the bird say, an eagle has never been known to lose the little eaglet. It always wins and brings the little one up and teaches it until it can fly. There is a marvelous word in Exodus 19:4. And here is God himself speaking to Moses about the eagle and likening himself to the eagle. Here is what he said. On his deliverance of Israel from Egypt, he said, I bore you. I carried you on eagle's wings. Not one eaglet has ever been lost. And what a great encouragement to the people of God. However weak you feel you are, however downcast, whatever your position is, you are being borne by him who compared himself to an eagle who never lost one. And he will carry you right to the very end. But these are spiritual blessings. And Isaiah is very quick to tell us this in the previous verse. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. No matter how strong you are in youth, it will fall. It will fail. I had a great friend. He's many years dead. But when he died, it was reported of him in the paper. Nobody had ever walked faster. He held the walking record all his life. He's dead, suppose, the most of 20 years. And so far as I know, nobody ever exceeded the speed that he as an athlete walked. But I remember him when he couldn't put one foot past the other. But he had grown day by day in spiritual strength. And that is what we can do. That is what we must do. And you can do it if you obey this text. It's a condition that you wait upon the Lord and renew your spiritual strength. If you don't, you will fail. You will backslide. I spoke to the boys and girls and young people about the marathon. The Christian race isn't a sprint, nor is it a marathon. The marathon runs for a certain time, but the Christian race starts every morning when you awake, and it closes when your eyes fall asleep. Run that straight race through God's good grace. And you'll only do it, and you'll fail to do it, unless you obey the words of my text. And it's to them who will wait upon the Lord day by day. And if you can possibly do it, as I have done all my life, make it first thing every morning. I love the first 2 hours of every day with the Lord, and have all my life. And if you do, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run, and you'll not be weary, and you'll walk, and you'll not faint in the spiritual race. May the Lord grant it to us all, for his name's sake.